Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. I'm joined by my sister Denise tonight, and we're very excited about tonight's show. I just want to remind you of a few things. The call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So if you have a question or a comment, make sure you dial that number, press the option to speak with the host, and we'll get you on. You can also join us on our tweet chat while the show's going on. Use the hashtag Beauty Lounge or Beauty Talk. And we're going to save the beauty news tonight for toward the end of the show so that we can get our guest on right away. And our guest tonight is Corinne Corbin. I'm going to let her come on and introduce herself here. Let's see. Hi, Corinne.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Wonderful, and you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Good, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, Corinne, why don't you start off the show tonight just by introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about how you started working in this wonderful world of beauty.
Well, I have been working in the wonderful world of beauty in some form or other for more than 25 years. So I started my career at Elle Magazine. Well, I started my career at Women's Wear Daily as an advertising sales secretary, but that was my foray into the publishing world. But my first magazine job was as a beauty assistant at Elle Magazine. And I worked there for 8 years, and I was, I thought I wanted to be in fashion, and I fell in love with beauty. And it actually was a natural fit because I, in college, was a little bit of a kitchen beautician and also was really very much into makeup. Mm-hmm. And so this was, and I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts from Pratt Institute, and I did a lot of, you know, kind of artistic stuff. So it really was in line with my interests. So I fell in love with beauty, and I call them tours of duty. As a magazine editor, I have been in and out of beauty, the beauty department, 3 different times. And so I call them tours of duty. So I, throughout my career, I've worked at a number of magazines, but not always in the beauty department, sometimes in more managerial positions like editor-in-chief or executive editor. But in beauty, I was 8 years in the beauty department at Elle, working my way up from an editorial assistant to, when I left there, I was a senior editor in beauty, health, and fitness. And then I was the beauty and wellness director of Real Simple for a time. And most recently, I was the beauty director at Essence Magazine. So those were my beauty. And in between, when I wasn't working in the magazine industry, I was working directly with brands, writing package copy, naming products, writing press materials, working on events or moderating focus groups, and consulting on the multicultural consumer as well. So I've done a lot of things in the beauty industry.
Right. So tell us a little bit about what you're up to right now.
So I left Essence in 2013, got laid off, and it gave me the opportunity to explore what I wanted to do next. And mm-hmm. what I found that I loved to do was help people who were younger than I am succeed in the industry, not okay. just in publishing, in content creation, but also in the beauty industry. And I had been toying with the idea of developing a organization that assisted women, particularly women of color, with success, with getting the tools they needed to get to become successful in the industry. But when, and I was toying with that idea, but when I got laid off, I said, why don't I start with a camp so that I start with girls who are younger?
Mm-hmm.
What I found when I have been in I've also been a hiring manager. So when I was been in the managerial aspects of publishing, I've hired people who look to get into the industry, and oftentimes they say, I didn't know about beauty before.
Right.
If I had known about it, I could have studied this, I could have studied that. So when you don't know about something early enough, you're ill-equipped to succeed initially. So I thought that I would start by exposing girls, tween and teen girls, to the industry. So I developed Beauty Biz Camp to give girls ages 12 to 18 an opportunity to explore the variety of careers that are across this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And get them excited about that, but also give them some tools for empowerment to help them to define beauty for themselves.
Right. Now, you mentioned women of color. Did you feel like women of color needed that extra help in succeeding in the industry and finding out about the industry?
Well, I think in some areas, like product development, I think what I wanted is to see more women of all ethnicities have a seat at the table. Because mm-hmm. what happens, I just read somewhere that somebody said, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Hmm.
And so we're on the menu being discussed, and if not, and if we don't look like the people discussing us, we're not able to express what our needs are. And I thought it was important to equip women with the skills they need to be that. So women of color, I mean of all ethnicities.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, so you're talking about a little diversity. You want to
exactly.
see a little diversity. Gotcha.
Exactly. Diversity, you know, diversity of skin tone, diversity of culture, diversity of thought. Just
mm-hmm.
really getting people to think differently about beauty and what is beautiful. So
mm-hmm.
even with the camp, it's equipping girls to understand that beauty is a currency, and sometimes used as a tool to distract us, so to speak, from things, and that it is also a tool for power.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should use our power for good.
Exactly. How do you think, what do you think, or where do you think the beauty industry is now in terms of diversity?
Well, I think that I'm going to say I started in the 80s. So
mm-hmm.
there have been great strides in terms of product availability and in some instances, with many brands, and understanding that with the demand for products for natural hair, I think that came from the consumer as opposed to the brands understanding that. I think
right.
that we found our voice when it came to natural hair, and manufacturers had to respond accordingly.
Right.
So that, I think, was a big change in how companies responded. I think that the with blogs and citizen journalism and peer-to-peer reviews, there are lots of ways in which we communicate how we like our products. And I think brands are listening, and they have to listen.
Right.
Because consumers do not just, you know, you can't, there was a time when brands, you know, hair, makeup, fragrance, whatever, would talk at the consumer as the all-knowing beings. But we've sort of taken back that power as consumers to ask the questions and make decisions based upon our own research. So we crowdsource from different areas. We ask our friends. We do a little online research. We read reviews. We get samples. And then we decide. We don't necessarily just look at an ad and say, I'm going to get that.
Right. Right. So let's talk a little bit about the camp.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about why you created it and what the girls, what do you think the girls should get out of this camp?
Okay, so I created it in 2013, and as I mentioned earlier, and I created it because I wanted to give girls some tools of empowerment and also to expose them to the industry. So in 2013, I ran it in New York City, and it was a three-week program, so it was a little bit more extensive in terms of the programming and the curriculum, and it looked at the beauty careers overall for 1 week, and then 1 week of extensive product, looking at how products are made and developed and marketed, and then 1 week of looking at the glam, more the glam careers, including what happens on a photo shoot. So that taught me a lot, and especially about product development and the interest in product development. So we talk a lot about STEM and STEAM careers. I think that one of the reasons that science, you know, is not appealing to people is to young people is because they don't understand what you can do with it, with the skills.
Right.
And when we show them what a cosmetic chemist does, it a light bulb goes off. Okay, this is a way to use chemistry. This is a way to use engineering. So I think that I'm interested in not only doing the overview but doing an in-depth in the future with young women in terms of letting them really explore the product development avenue. In addition, so this year though, I am taking the program to Baltimore, and I wanted to do that in response to all the unrest that has happened in the city, and we've heard a lot about what's happening with young men in the city, but we did not hear a lot about what's happening with young women.
Right.
And I thought it was important to bring something uplifting to the city that would, and people think, you might think, oh, beauty. But beauty is also about empowerment.
Absolutely.
And understanding that not only is it important to define the beauty, but to stand up for yourself in terms of your beauty as well.
Right. What are some of the responses from some of your past camps that you've gotten from the young girls when they realize that, oh, you know, beauty industry is more than just being a hairstylist or a makeup artist, but, you know, you can actually create a product. You could actually be a beauty editor. You can actually be a photographer at a photo shoot or even be a model on the other side of the camera. Or, you know, what are some of their responses when they realize that it's more than what they thought?
I think they're overwhelmed by the choices and they're excited by them as well.
Right.
And because the adults, this is what's interesting. It's not even just the kids. The people who come to speak often say, I wish that this was around when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, and it can benefit any girl, but I'm really interested also in making sure that underserved girls get the opportunity to see get the opportunity to see what these careers look like.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's a great idea. You know, because like some of the other adults who participate say, you know, I wish this was around when, you know, when I was younger, because, you know, like I say all the time on this show, you know, back when I first started, you know, there wasn't much talk about makeup artistry as a career, you
right.
know, and then now there are so many makeup artists and wannabe makeup artists that are, you know, that are around. But before you never talked, you know, you never really heard anybody talk about it. And when I first, started, you would see these, like when you would go take classes somewhere, you would see these makeup artists and they would show their work, you know, it was all in magazines and this, and I kind of felt like, okay, all of the makeup artists that exist, they work at such a higher level, you know, not
right.
realizing, I guess, that, you know, at some point, you know, with time and with work, hard work and various experiences, you know, you can all get to this level as well.
Right.
But so I think it's a great idea. And I know one of your speakers tomorrow, the chemist that you're bringing in,
right.
Like I shared with you before, you know, she and I attended the same church at one time. And I was kind of amazed when I found out that she was a chemist at Procter & Gamble.
Right.
And I don't know why. I guess it amazed me so much because, you know, like when you're in college and you know, for me, my background was accounting and business, but, you know, I had to take a chemistry class. And I'm sitting there and when I take the chemistry class, I'm like, God, you know, I'll never do anything with this, you know, thinking that's what I'm thinking, you know. And then you have people who are actually chemistry majors.
Right.
You know, and then they go out and work as a chemist. Sometimes when you think chemistry, you're not even thinking that they're going to wind up in the beauty industry. I don't know where I would have thought a chemist would be. I mean, I guess they should. Some of them would be in the beauty industry, but, you know, I'm sure they're placed in other places as well. But in the beauty industry, it sounds so much more exciting than when you're sitting there taking a chemistry class.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just really fascinating. And I'm sure the young girls would really, like you said, they're overwhelmed, but then they're also excited. And if that existed years ago, I probably would have been overwhelmed and excited as well. So I think it's a great thing that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. And then one of the ways in which past participants have responded to the programming is that one young lady, one of the things they did in the product making week, in the product development week, is that they got also to make their own oatmeal or sugar or salt scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And this young lady taught a bunch of other people how to do it afterward.
Oh, wow.
She was so into it that she taught a bunch of other people how to do it afterwards, and that was... And that I think one of her teachers sent a note. The person that recommended her sent a note that she's teaching other people now how to do this.
Nice. But that's what it's all about.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is that there are, I think at one point you would think that this industry, meaning the beauty industry, would be New York or Los Angeles or Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the reasons I could bring it to Baltimore is because there is Procter & Gamble, the CoverGirl division,
mm-hmm.
the CoverGirl Max Factor division is nearby. Oyin Handmade is in Baltimore. Shea
mm-hmm.
Radiant
right.
is in Maryland. Maybe
right.
Dunbar is in Maryland. I mean, you have some great brands and people who have done really, very well for themselves in the industry. Cinnamon Bowser from Nail Taxi is coming also, who are doing great things in the country, who are based in Maryland.
Right, right.
So it and one of the things I want to do with Beauty Get This Camp, which Baltimore will be the first city, is I'm partnering with a nonprofit in the city called I Am Okay, that is that teaches fundamentals of wealth development and financial literacy, as well as entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I worked with them to secure a location and to bring this program to life in Baltimore. And also, they will be teaching some entrepreneurial skills at Beauty Biz Camp.
Nice. So let me ask you, besides this Beauty Biz Camp, how do you think, or what suggestions do you have for people such as myself and my sister and other people that's working in the beauty industry? How do we equip young girls for jobs in the industry? How do we even approach it?
Well, I think that it's important to share your story. In the age where, particularly with makeup artists, I think, and hairstylists now, with Instagram and vlogs, there's a lot of DIY out there. And that's great. That's great to be able to share your skills in that way. But there are other things that professionals know that need to be passed on. Let's say about etiquette, about what happens on these shoots. So that if people are very serious about developing their careers, they can learn it. So I would say share your stories with young women. Do some seminars with people who are hoping to break in,
mm-hmm.
to give them the truth about it. Because what we want for them is success. And you can't succeed without the knowledge.
Right. Now, it's interesting that you said share your story, because my sister and I are starting this video series called Glam Squad Diaries. It's something that, once we would start a new project and work on the project, because nowadays with film and TV, you can't really tweet and Instagram a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, because it gives away character information, character
right.
looks, things like that, that, productions don't want revealed so early. So what we decided to do was kind of have a behind-the-scenes show on YouTube, where the show that I'm referring to that we're just doing is called Survivor's Remorse on the Stars Network.
Right.
So once that show airs, then the following Monday, we will, a video will come out about that particular episode. And so it's teaching you about, what we did for that particular episode, how we, developed the looks of the characters. Whatever happens in that episode, we talk about that as far as how it relates to the look of the character. And so that's kind of what we're going to be doing with this whole little video series, is sharing that backstory about how we got to a certain point, things that happen behind the scenes that sometimes you don't expect to happen, but how we react to it and how we, get those characters to look how they're supposed to look. So it'll be really good for people who are serious about this business to see what really happens behind the scenes when you're on the hair and makeup trailer, the things
exactly.
that you go through day in and day out.
And I think even before the show comes out, you could do some prep shows to do background
uh-huh.
on how you develop their looks.
Right.
Like for each character, because of the,
right.
So that people start to understand, because it is not just about, I'm going to do her makeup, but
right.
I'm,
mm-hmm.
But you have to know who the character is and what they represent, and then you create the look based upon
right.
that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. It'll be sharing things like that, and hopefully, hopefully stars will kind of really latch on. I mean, they're interested in what we're doing, and they're taking a look at what we're doing. But I'm really hoping that they will, you know, really get interested in this. And I mean, not just so that it promotes the show, but if they see that it's a good way to promote the show, then hopefully they can get behind us and promote us in doing this. And this will be something that we can definitely continue on a larger scale going forward.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. I think that the way that, I mean, being inventive about the way that you share your knowledge is really, really critical.
Yes.
And I think this is a really smart way to do it.
Yes.
So so that those who are aspiring makeup artists can then understand, or hairstylists can then understand, there is a difference between doing something for episodic television versus a movie versus a fashion show versus a wedding.
Yes.
You know, there are different levels. I mean, not levels, but different situations, because they all require professional skills. So different situations require you to approach the artistry differently.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Changing the subject just a little bit, I'd like to know, what do you say to young women? Because I'm sure when you're in the camp, focus is not always totally all day, all week on just, okay, these are the careers that you can have. But what do you say to young women, because it's all about empowering as well, what do you say to young women about image and loving themselves?
Oh, we're going to, there's a couple of sessions that we're doing that we're going to talk about cultural appropriation and Amanda Stenberg and her reaction to the, we're going to show Don't Cash Crop My Cornrows, so they understand that. Did you see the video most recently? I don't know who did it off the top of my head, on What If I Knew I Was Beautiful?
No, I didn't see that.
Young lady who's done that. I think BuzzFeed put it out this week. It is a very empowering look, you know, all lyrics that artists, musicians, like, always talk about it from the standpoint of that they have to swoop in and tell a woman that she's beautiful. And this young performer talks about it from a different standpoint. What if I already knew I was beautiful? What would you think of me then? So we're gonna talk about that and how you can stand up for your beauty also. We're going to talk a little bit about Serena Williams and the power of her, the power of Serena Williams and her beauty, and what the media tries to do. So we're going to teach them a little bit about beauty literacy, meaning how to decode these messages that try to strip us of our power and make us question our beauty.
Right. Wow, those sessions right there should be very powerful.
Yeah.
Then did you see the video? If I don't know if either of you saw it, the video of the young lady who she had, you know, like problem skin, and she posted a picture on Instagram, I believe it was. And she got all these negative comments about she was ugly, you know, how horrible her skin was and all that. And then she posted a video of her doing her makeup. And once she finished doing her makeup, you know, she looked great. She looked fabulous. And then you get all of the comments about how beautiful she looked and how great she looked. But, you know, there were still some negative comments in there because, of course, people had seen the previous picture. But are there any plans to, I guess, discuss how young women can be talked about, bullied, you know, about their looks and you know, just like all the negative things, the negative sides of I'm not going to say the negative sides of beauty, but of the negative sides of what people think is not beautiful.
Right. Well, there's another video, which I just saw recently for Just Me. I think it's Just Me Products. But it's a very powerful video of a young woman writing on her skin all her flaws, and then having two women having talking to the camera about how society tries to dictate one's beauty.
Right.
And now, and their hashtag, I think, is Quit the BS.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's all really BS, how someone else, that you don't look to someone else to define your happiness while you look into them to define your beauty.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we talk a little bit, and we do some exercises in self-empowerment and being able to create some positive affirmations for oneself as well.
Nice. And so your camp this week, what are the times?
It is from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at Western High School. We have about 30 young women, so we're pretty much at capacity.
Nice.
And we have 7th, 8th, 9th, and 11th graders. Rising 7th, 8th, 9th, and 11th graders, yeah. So we have a lot of middle school girls, which is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Corinne, Aisha Tiffany on Twitter is saying, please consider Michigan for Beauty Biz Camp. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I would love to come to Michigan. Well, my goal with Beauty Biz Camp is not to, I mean, I love doing it in New York, obviously, because of the access to the people. But I'd like to partner with organizations and bring the programming to different areas of the country. And the reason I want to partner with existing organizations is because they know they would have populations of girls already that they're working with.
Right.
And would have access or would know how to reach the girls of the community as opposed to me coming there, you know, blind.
Right, exactly.
So I would love to consider Michigan and if somebody wants me to come, anybody is interested in Beauty Biz Camp coming to their city and know of organizations they'd like to suggest that I talk to, they could send me an email at info@beautybizcamp.com or tweet me at Beauty Biz Camp as well.
Nice.
And I'm excited because now that we have Periscope, we're going to do, you guys can follow us on Periscope. I just set up an account. We're going to do a little, some Periscope session, parts of, going to use Periscope to record parts of our sessions.
Nice.
During
the I just discovered that last week, haven't set up an account yet, though.
Yeah. I haven't used it. I just set up the account. I'm going to start using it tomorrow, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be a great thing. I'm excited about the event. I'm excited about to hear how it all goes. And I just think it's important. What else does your nonprofit organization do besides the Beauty Biz Camp? Do you guys do anything? Any other events besides the camp?
I am working on trying to do stuff with young women in college next.
Okay. Nice.
I haven't started that yet, but I would like to do something with young women in college. And I also have a for-profit company, and I just started doing something called the Beauty Swirl Social. And that is where women get together, get glam and give back around beauty. So I just did for someone's fundraiser, another nonprofit fundraiser. I did a beauty DIY bar where people made products.
Mm-hmm.
Children and adults. They made candles, scrubs, a mask.
Mm-hmm.
During that time. So I want to do stuff like that My vision for that is to do that as an event and part of the Money Go to Beauty Biz Camp, but also when I do it with somebody who you know, contracts me to do this, that it goes to the charity of their choice as well.
Gotcha. Nice.
So it's a fun kind of fundraising opportunity. You can make products. You can make it a pampering experience, like a mini spa experience. But instead of just going to a fundraiser where you're drinking wine and doing that kind of thing, you're doing something
right.
to pamper yourself instead.
Exactly. That's a great idea. Great idea. So is there anything that you're not doing with the camp that you would like to kind of put in place with, you know, soon within the next few camps that you do?
Well, the one thing that I've been trying to do for the last year, which I have not solidified yet, is the 2-week intensive, the science intensive
mm-hmm.
with the girls. That is what I'd like to do. So
okay.
Partner with a university.
Oh, nice.
To do a 2-week program along with a cosmetic chemist where it's for high school girls, where they make product for the 2 weeks.
Nice. That would be, I think, that would be very interesting. And, you know, it's, let me ask you this. Are all the girls who attend, are they all already interested in beauty in some way? Or is it some just coming in, they really don't know, but they're there anyway, and then once it's all over, there's some interest?
Well, I think that this, they're not always all interested in beauty.
Okay.
I think that the benefit is that some of the skills they learn,
mm-hmm.
the leadership, the presentation, they learn about marketing and PR. And at this camp, they're going to learn, this session, they're going to learn about entrepreneurship. They're transferable to lots of other fields.
Gotcha.
So, but if they are interested in beauty, they can get deeper, more deeply involved in it.
Mhm. Nice. Now, this is a question that we always ask all of our guests on the show, and it kind of goes in line with what you've been talking about tonight. What is beauty to you, Corinne?
Oh, this is so funny because this is one of the questions the campers ask the guests.
Oh,
we do a little video interviews after they each guest comes. So beauty to me is power. It's power to define yourself, and power to actually to communicate with others. So it's your confidence. It's strength. And it is not just how you look, it's how you are in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And I totally agree. We get all kinds of answers, but for the most part, you know, everyone has something very similar to say. And that's one of the things that we, you know, we always ask individuals, not only to come on the show, but just in general, because I just feel like it's something that people should know how to define. And I think people should know that beauty is not about your hair and your makeup and how you look on the outside, but it's definitely something from within. Something, like you said, it's power. So it's something that's more, you know, that's something that's power, like power, very powerful. And I always like to define it as confidence.
Right.
Which is a very powerful thing. So I love it. I love it. So what's next? What's the next city after Baltimore? Do you have plans already set in place?
No, I don't have plans set in place yet.
Okay.
I was hoping to do something in New York next, but
okay.
They're not solidified yet.
Okay. Now, is New York a city that you try to do this every year in?
Ideally, yes. I did not do 2014, but I had some personal things that stopped me from doing them. But, yeah, I'd like to, as long as I'm living in the New York metro area, yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
But the cities, I mean, there are a few cities I'm interested in looking at, for sure.
And then you're taking all suggestions as well.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, thank
and
you
I think
so much.
That, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and this is something that can be a winter recess kind of program, a spring break program.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't always have to be summer.
Right, that's a great thought. Yeah, you know, it may be connecting with, you know, I know you're doing this at Western High School, but if, you know, if school was actually in session,
right.
It may be something to connect with the high schools to kind of do during their spring break.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been a good thing. I think it's going to, once people really catch on, I think it's going to grow to that, where you can kind of work with the high schools, do your part with the older girls in college, kind of working with schools, and then, like you said, partnering with other organizations, maybe that mentor girls or something like that.
Right, right. That's the goal. Yes, definitely.
Nice. Is there anything else about the Beauty Biz Camp that you'd like to share but that you haven't shared tonight?
No. I think it's all girls deserve to know they're beautiful.
Right. Exactly.
And that it's not just about what's in the mirror. Because I do have another program that I have not launched yet, but it is about that. It's about beauty and self-esteem and your beauty beyond the mirror.
Nice. And is that going to be tailored to young girls or certain ages?
I think, yes, young... Elementary, middle, and high school, but the high school would be just a little bit different. High school would probably be, because it's got photo and video components to it, so
mm-hmm.
high school girls would be able to really bring that to life, the photo, video stuff, where the
mm-hmm.
younger girls would need some help.
What do you think, while I'm sitting here thinking of it, what do you think about adult women who, you know, they're adults, but they kind of, all of what we're talking about tonight, they kind of missed out on. And I'm just speaking mainly of the, you know, knowing that they're beautiful, you know, those who may have self-esteem issues because they may feel like they're not beautiful for whatever the reason. How do we speak to adult women on some of these issues?
Well, one of the ways that would be great is if we could do some mother-daughter events.
Mm-hmm.
And then do some, so the girls go one way for part of the day and the mothers go another way.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can get that they can do some exercises that relate to that, to uncover.
Right.
But they're also, you know, when I do the college and post-college stuff, version of Beauty Biz Camp, where it's kind of a boot camp immersion, there is opportunity for adult women to get the empowerment part as well.
Right. Nice.
And then the empowerment part can spin off on its own, too.
On its own, right. I'm thinking, like, when you have your sessions during the week, even the people that come in to speak can, when they come in to speak, like, at different times, but even during these sessions, they, you know, I think there's an opportunity for adult women to sit in and join in the conversation and kind of share, you know, sometimes some of them, they're comfortable with where they are now, but there may have been a time in their adult life when they weren't, and they can kind of share their experience of their struggles in those areas.
In that case, I think that what I would do is have an evening session for adult women.
Gotcha.
Because I think the girls need their own time.
Gotcha.
Because when you bring too many adults in the room, you hinder the conversation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation changes.
Gotcha. It's definitely something to explore for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely something to explore. I think the conversation on beauty in general, it's a never ending thing, and there's always something to talk about.
True.
It's always something to talk about. So, again, best of luck with
Thank
what you're doing this week. I'm excited. And I know that the girls will definitely be blessed and have a wonderful experience. Please share. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you were able to come on tonight. I appreciate it. And I know that you probably have some last minute things you need to do. So we didn't want to hold you on for the whole entire hour, but I think we almost got close. So again, thank you so much, Corinne, for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. You guys have a great night.
You too.
You too.
All right.
And have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Let me turn it over to Denise to see if we had any beauty news.
Yes, we have just a couple of things I have really quickly. You can join Makeup Artist Magazine on Sunday, August 2nd, for a Makeup Artist Magazine Pro Card event with Oscar-winning makeup artist Howard Berger and Tammy Lane. The event takes place 2 p.m. at the Carousel Bar located in the Hotel Monteleone at 214 Royal Street in New Orleans, Louisiana. And again, it's August 2nd. For more information, you can go to makeupmag.com. Again, it's makeupmag.com for more information on this ProCard event in New Orleans. Cat Cosmetics will hold two airbrush classes in both Copenhagen and Berlin. So if you have any listeners there, this is for you. On October 3rd in Copenhagen, they will have an advanced airbrush workshop, and in Berlin on October 8th, again, the same advanced airbrush workshop, which will cover the fine art of airbrushing, face chart art, 3D shading, and multi-layering techniques. And then the second class will be extreme makeup. We'll cover total transformation, brow blocking, makeup design, and stenciling. And that class will take place October 4th in Copenhagen and October 9th in Berlin. And for more information, on that class, you can go to ketcosmetics.com. That's K-E-T-T cosmetics.com. And last but not least, IMATS, the last two shows for this year, will take place in Toronto on September 26th and 27th, and in Sydney, Australia, November 14th and 15th. Those shows are normally a little smaller than the London or the or LA show. Or I'm not sure about the, oh God, I forget the other show that they have, but which takes place in Canada as well.
Vancouver?
Vancouver, yes. But I do know for sure the Toronto and the Sydney, Australia shows are a little smaller than the LA and the London show. And again, those shows will only be two-day shows. You know, in LA and London, they have the third day for like the pro-only event.
Mm-hmm.
And this show will just have the 2 days. So again, in Toronto is September 26th and 27th, and in Sydney, Australia, November 14th and 15th. And for more information on those shows, you can check out imats.net. That's imats.net.
Gotcha. Well, thank you very much for that information. Thank you guys again for tuning in
to the show tonight. Thanks for those who were out there tweeting. Appreciate your support. And we'll be back again next Sunday night, same time, 9 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio. So everyone have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.